Hi there. I am Cindy, a compulsive, impulsive overeater, volume eater, former bulimic. Been cured of that. My father was a handsome man. He met my mother after serving 4 years in the U.S. Army, non-active. My mom was 21. He was 22. They dated 3 months and married. 1 year later, to the day I was born, on their anniversary. So I'm told I was the apple of my daddy's eyes. And I was told I was spoiled rotten by one of my aunts. Life started out good, but I started growing. I was a normal sized child up until about the age of, I don't know, there's like a picture of me may when I was four. And then when I was in school, and the difference between them, I don't know what it was, but that's where my actual weight issues started. So it was a picture of a little chunky girl with the short bangs and what I call bat wings because they just came straight out. But I went to a school that had three classrooms. There were two grades in each classroom. And one of the things that I remember about that school is every morning coming to school and the smell that would come be coming from the cafeteria. And now, why do I remember that specifically? Probably because I have the disease of compulsive eating. Was raised mostly in country settings, and we always met at my grandmother's house on Sundays. She would get up and cook and go to church, come back, cook some more. The rest of the family would bring other things, other dishes and that sort of thing. And of course, I gotta check my notes. Everything was made homemade from scratch, and adults always put the plate your food on the plates, and you were made to clean the plates because that's where I learned that kids in other countries were starving. So, and I remember thinking, well, I would let them have mine if I could get it to them. So, okay, going back a bit, my paternal grandfather was killed in a car accident. My dad was four, I think, and my grandmother remarried. Now, my dad might have been three. My grandmother remarried. She had four kids, and when she remarried, they her and my papaw, who I know as papaw, they had another child. What would have been my uncle at the age of three was playing with a gun in the corner, and it was loaded. My dad tried to take it away from him. It went off and killed my uncle. So my dad started out young at five with PTSD. Moving forward, my dad tried to commit suicide a couple of times. Let's see. Mama's and daddy's marriage wasn't a very good one. I remember about it at the age of eight. I was the first time that I was molested. And then moving forward to my daddy moving to Florida, my mom and dad divorcing. I was 13 years old and I was put between my parents because my stepmother wouldn't allow my mom and dad to talk. So I had to be the go-between, the mediator at 13. So I grew up very fast, and that's where I learned especially more to use food as comfort. One big issue was when my parents had already divorced, my mother had told my dad not to move a woman in with him and live together. But he did that anyway. And my stepmother, she didn't like us. She thought we were heathens. And we might have been, but she made life miserable. And I remember that my dad and mom, mom came down and was for a visit, and I knew Cheryl had to move out. I don't know, my teenage mind was wondered, and I asked my mama why she had to move out, and Lord, that was a mistake. So she and my dad argued. He took her back to the airport. He came back to the house and walked in and looked at me with the most hateful eyes I've ever seen in my life and said, "I hope you're happy." So I took on that guilt. Guilt made me eat to try to satisfy that guilt. I even tried to punish myself with food. That was the first time that I was ever put on a diet. I was taken to the doctor and put on a medicine called Tinuit Diazepam. I lost 70 pounds. I ended up getting sent to my mother because after I caused all the big ruckus, things really got bad at my home. So I went to live with my mother. She had a boyfriend. Boyfriend needed help with his kids, so I went to help his kids because he had to work in the mornings. But he came in and he tried to molest me. So I asked my mother. I said, "I don't want to go back," and I wouldn't tell her why, but she didn't make me go back. So, there's been a history of being molested, attempted. I've been almost raped. And a lot of these things, along with everything else from my childhood, the divorce, created complex PTSD in me. And food was my only source of comfort. Let's see. What do I need to go now? That's what it was like. No, actually, I came up to my mother's. She took me to a doctor, and he put me on a medication called Ionomin, which on the street was called Speed. So here I was, this young girl, and using these different things. I used the 1,000-calorie diet. I even took the AIDS candy. I couldn't afford Weight Watchers, so I didn't go there. I would lose weight, I would gain weight. I basically stayed in my early, maybe around my teens and maybe mid-20s. I basically stayed around 200, 250 pounds. But in 1990, I decided I wanted to be a truck driver. And I took the schooling and started out in January of 1999 as a truck driver. There I learned that when you're a truck driver, you have to stay in the seat. And I was constantly nibble, 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 nibble. So throughout that, I started gaining weight. I met a guy. We had a 12-year relationship, which where there were many other women, and finally, in the end, he fathered a child, and I just totally ended it in 2004. But through all that and through all that stress, I gained up to 400 pounds. When I When I came off the road, I moved later years, moved up here to the mountains to be around my daughter. And I got with a doctor that was basically a wellness doctor, a health doctor, and started the recovery process. So it's been long and, a long time coming. And over the years, I've gone down a little bit, back up a little bit, down a little bit, back up a little bit. In 2018, I had a gastric sleeve. I had to lose down to 342 pounds in order to be able to have that done. I had that done and didn't lose anything. So I can't even think of all the diets that I've been on in my most recent years. But I started in recovery in 1999. I was trying to get help for my boyfriend and my friend. So I went to a mental health center and I asked them for help for them. But I was told, maybe I need to go to this meeting over here called Al-Anon. So that started my journey. It helped me to get the focus off of my ex, my now ex. I moved into CODA. That helped me to get the focus off of everybody else and on me. And then I moved into ACA, Celebrate Recovery, and then finally into Overeaters Anonymous. I walked in the doors of Overeaters Anonymous probably about 5, 6 years ago. And I walked right back out because the only people in there were skinny people. And I'm like, well, this is not for me because these are skinny people. They don't need OA. What's OA for? So back in November, I came back into OA and I've stayed in OA. I became abstinent in May. August was my 90 days. OA has taught me how to ask for the willingness to be willing. That's the biggest thing that has helped me to get abstinence is my praying. And I've learned to set aside everything that I think I know about myself, that I think I know about God, that I think I know about you, that I think I know about OA, and just make my mind open and to receiving whatever God has for me. And I choose to call my higher power God. I've seen many miracles in my life, medical miracles. I had cancer, was diagnosed with cancer in 2016. I had two partial kidney removals because of the cancer that was on there. I survived that. Back in 93, I ended up having a hysterectomy. I had a mass inside of a big tumor that was in transition. So I beat cancer. But I'm telling you what, this disease of overeating, of the compulsion. It is cunning, baffling, and it is something that will never leave. I can say that I am recovering. I can say that, but I can't say that I'm recovered because I struggle. I struggle each day. I learn new things. New foods or foods that are on my okay list, I learn that that one might need to go away. It might need to go bye-bye because I find that my compulsivity is also progressive, cunning, and baffling. So being in the rooms of AOA and doing service for the virtual OA Footsteps virtual intergroup has given me the strength. It's given me the people who have come around me and loved me as I am and allowed me to be me, to voice my feelings, deal with my feelings. And that's one of the things that I am working with. I'm with a therapist. I definitely need a therapist because of complex PTSD. And we are working through a book that is in another fellowship that is helping me to even know what my feelings are. Because as a teenager, I learned to stuff my feelings because I learned that they didn't matter. I learned as a child that, if I'm going to cry, I'm going to get something to cry for. And I was told I was making a mountain out of a molehill. So I learned that my feelings weren't important. And so that began my isolation journey. I started isolating. Actually, moving forward a little bit in my teenage years, one of the ways that I satiated my deep desire for a higher power is through sex and drugs. I was looking for love from somebody. It didn't matter. And I got promiscuous. I got pregnant at the age of 17. I had a baby and I chose to keep that baby. My father put me in an unwed mother's home, and but I refused to give my child up, and he walked out of my life. But I raised that child to the oh, good Lord, help me, the beautiful, beautiful person she is today. She has a sister, and I can only say that these two gals have been blessings in my life and give me the support that I need. I've talked to them about my mistakes and how I probably messed them up, because of I was messed up. But there is where I've received the love that I needed. I could always turn to my daughters, but I've learned that talk to people in these rooms. I can tell you things that I can't tell my daughters. And that is just amazing to me. But I want to go to the service thing of it. If you haven't provided service in some way, there are behind the scenes needs at 08 Footsteps. There are few people doing many, many things. And the rewards are just so great. And the biggest thing I love about this, and I see I have a minute and 31 seconds left, but the biggest thing about this is that you meet people because of Zoom all over the world, and you get close to them. And thanks to WhatsApp, man, you can talk to them too. Actually, on the phone, and that excites me. So I love what this program has done for me. I am providing service, host service in the step study, and I love it. The 08 Footsteps step study, and we'll be doing another one in the fall for anyone that would be interested. I just love OA because OA has brought me back into connection with my higher power. And that's where I was losing it. I had kind of strayed away, and I was losing that connection to the spiritual side of me. And thanks to OA, and you people in these rooms, and I love you all dearly, I keep coming back. Because I keep getting something every time I show up in a room, every time I give service to somewhere in this program. Thanks for letting me share. That's the end of my time.